While I was thinking on what I could say about giving an offering, I ran across a problem that many speakers have. That is, what can I say that hasn't been said before? I mean, there are only so many ways you can say that this is commanded by God, now and forever, that we give, and at a specific time in the holy day year. Or that it's not so much how much we give, but that we give, and with the correct attitude. Just jot down in your notes 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. All these subjects have been gone over again and again. But why? Is there something to be gained by going through these subjects over and over again? Well, then it struck me. I remember when I was at school going over and over my times table. 1 times 2 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4. Or the thousands of times I had to copy out a single word. Pages and pages of them. And no, that wasn't a punishment. That was to help me know the word. Well, I still have to say the rhyme Big Elephants Cannot Up Sums easily to remember how to spell because, so perhaps that wasn't so successful. But I never forgot the rhyme. So, repetition. In the time I have, I want to answer why repetition works, how it works, and why our minds are like a garden. First, let's ask the question, does God use repetition? Well, the phrase, I am the Lord, is repeated 163 times throughout the New King James Bible. Several hundred times we are reminded that it was God who took the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, using several different phrases, but all on the same idea. I am the Lord that took you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord that took you through the sea. We were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. God very much uses repetition to emphasize many points, not just the two I've highlighted. They all point us to the way of God, and how it was by His might and not ours that we were saved. Let's have a look at an action that God wants us to repeat. Well, of course, since this is an offering, it can only be Deuteronomy 16, verses 16. So if you'd like to all turn with me to it, we'll read the following. Or do we need to read it? Many of us have read this scripture hundreds of times throughout our lives, to the point that when it's time for an offering sermonette, we automatically write down Deuteronomy 16, verses 16, or have a handy finger already stuck in the correct page. God has made it so that we learn this action not once, but many times throughout our lives. So who am I to deny you a learning opportunity? So let's turn and read Deuteronomy 16, verses 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. 3 times or seasons we are to repeat this action, to firmly set in our minds that God loves a cheerful giver. Ralph Waldo Emerson, as well as many other famous personalities, is credited with coining the saying, "Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for they become your destiny." And what a destiny that is! It's so great, we know but a little bit of it, for our minds can't comprehend the true glory of it. So now we can see that repetition is used all through the Bible. But what actually happens in our brains when we do something for the first time? Well, to understand that, we first have to have a basic understanding of what is in our brain. The most important for this topic is the humble neuron. It itself is not that impressive. They range from 4 to 100 microns in length, which doesn't mean anything to most of us, but for comparison, the average human hair is around 75 microns. So, small. Very small. They look like a spiky blob with a tail. This tail is called an axon. It reaches out and makes contact with other neurons, and a neural pathway from one to another is born. Now it takes many billions, the average being about 86 billion, to fill a human brain. With these, thoughts, actions, memories, and reasoning all occur. When we learn something new, it is stored, for the lack of a large Latin word, in the short-term memory. A bit like the memory module in a computer, where you can access it quickly and easily. From there, it morphs into long-term memory. Things like how to ride a bike, walk, jump, communicate in your native tongue. Things that you don't have to think about doing, you just do them. So, why are our minds like a garden? Imagine, if you will, that you are standing in a beautiful garden with a luscious lawn before you. But what this garden lacks is any flower beds. So you look and see a spot over to the side that looks ideal for a flower bed, and you start walking on the grass to that spot. Once there, you discover that yes, indeed, it is a great spot for a bed, and you start the process of digging over the soil and preparing it for flowers. As you work on this project, you notice that the once pristine grass now has a distinct path where you have walked up and down the same path day after day. A little while later, the flowers are in and they are looking beautiful, with a whole host of bright colours. But the lawn now has a deep furrow from where you were walking. So you think, let's turn it into a path. And you set about placing down stepping stones to lead you to the flowers. Now, what has this got to do with our minds? Well, when we first learn something new, our minds, just like in the garden, create a path to a new idea or skill. It makes the path quickly, but it's weak and temporary. But as the days go by and you repeat the action, the neurons strengthen. There's a substance called myelin that coats the neuron, allowing the neural pathway to fire faster. Just like when you see that the grass now leads you to the flower bed. And finally, the neurons have become strong enough that the action is, for the lack of a better term, permanent. Just like laying down stepping stones, they guide you to the path even after many days of not visiting the plot. Just like it can be in Wales, where it's sunny for a day, then rains for a week. We are now at the beginning of this year's holy day season. This we are commanded to do each year. If you would like to turn with me to Leviticus 23 verse 2, it says, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And just dropping down to verse 4, These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. The Lord God has set in motion holy days that we are to keep in their due seasons. He has set them up then, now, and forever. Since we are here, just down from this is verse 14. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ear, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto the Lord your God. It shall be a statute for ever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It mentions it again in verse 21. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work, and it shall be a statute for ever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And again, down in verse 41, And you shall keep it a feast until the Lord 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute for ever in all your generations. This certainly answers the question, does God use repetition? Just in one chapter, 3 times, we are told that these holy days are to be kept not once, but each and every year. God commands us that we walk down this path, and smell the roses, as it were, each and every year, so that it becomes a habit to keep God's holy days. These habits will become a part of our character, and with that we shall reap the wonderful destiny that the Lord God has set us for all that love him. So in conclusion, does God himself use repetition? There are many, many examples all throughout the Bible of God repeating himself to get his point across. We have learned a little bit about what happens inside our brains when we first make a neural path, and later through repeatedly going over and over it, strengthening it to the point that it is as easy as walking. We see that the whole plan of God is laid out for us to go through each year, each and every year. Finally, let us finish by practicing what we preach, by once again going over the lines that we all know so well. Deuteronomy 16, verses 16. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place where he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty.